Thursday, means to start Thanksgiving, biggest travel day of the year. Today is probably this is a Wednesday or Thursday. But also in this week's parasha is Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva Vayelech Charana. He travels from Be'er Sheva to go to Charan, as his mother tells him, in order to fulfill Kibud Aviyem. So maybe we're also traveling on, for traveling on Wednesday, Thursday is probably also to fulfill Kibud Aviyem. So maybe we'll discuss the topic, take the opportunity to discuss the topic, which is really always relevant, and that is the topic of Tefillas HaDerech. Setting a tefillah for those who are traveling on a journey. So the Gemara tells us in Yerushalmi, Masechtas Brachos, Kol Hadrachim v'Cheska Sakana. All traveling was a dangerous undertaking because there were animals and pirates and people could get attacked along the way. It was dangerous. And the Gemara tells us, the Medrash tells us, that HaSatan Mekatreg v'Shasa Sakana, that the Satan advocates against us at a time of when we're in danger. So therefore, not only is traveling dangerous, but the Satan is also begins to advocate against us at a time of danger. And therefore, Chazal instituted a special tefillah for those who are embarking upon a journey. Just parenthetically, you know, the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Pesachim that Shluchei Mitzvah Eina Nizoikin. If a person is traveling for a mitzvah, so no danger or no harm can befall him. But the Gemara there says, if a Shkia Chazeka, if there's a significant possibility of some danger, so then the fact that you're Shluchei Mitzvah doesn't help you. So even though we're traveling here for Kibud Aviyem, the fact Shluchei Mitzvah at the same time, if it's Shkia Chazeka, if there's a significant possibility of danger, the simple fact that you're traveling as a Shluchei Mitzvah for the purpose of a mitzvah will not afford a person the same protection that we might be accustomed to. So therefore the Poskim say that even a person who's traveling for a mitzvah has to recite Tefillas HaDerech. But the entire sugya of Tefillas HaDerech is really found in a few lines in the Gemara Brachos and Chavtes Mebeis, where the Gemara tells us, Amalei Elio, the Rebbe Yehuda, Achva, the Rebbe Salah Chasida. Elio Anavi appeared to Yehuda, the brother of Rebbe Salah Chasida, and he informed him, Kishata Yoitze Lederech, Hamlech Bekainech of Itzei. He said, consult with your Creator and then go out. My Hamlech B'Kainech of Itzei, what did he mean, consult with the Ribbono Shel Olam? Amar Rabbi Akiva, Amar Rabbi Chisda, Zu Tefillas HaDerech, he was referring to reciting Tefillas HaDerech. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Amar Rabbi Chisda, Kol Yaitze L'Derech, Tzarech L'Ispal, Tefillas HaDerech, you know, just to formalize this and normalize it, that any person who's going out, this is not a Chumr of Eliyahu HaNavi, but any person who's going out on a path, on a journey, should first recite Tefillas HaDerech. So Gemara says, Amos Matli, when do you say this Tefillas HaDerech? So I'm Rabbi Yaakov, I'm Rabbi Chisda, Misha Shemahalech Baderech. When you're traveling on the way, Ad Kama, until when? I'm Rabbi Kiva, I'm Rabbi Chisda, Ad Parsa, until a Parsa. So now, the statement of Rabbi Chisda, Rabbi Yaakov, I'm Rabbi Chisda, seems to be a continuation of the first statement of I'm Rabbi Yaakov, I'm Rabbi Chisda. But in what way is it a continuation of the first statement? So that's a machlokes between Rashi and the Baal Halachas Gedolos with an important distinction. So Rashi here tells us, Ad Parsa, in the brackets, Avaloi la'acha shahalach Parsa. When can you say Tefillas HaDerech? When you're traveling on the way, until you pass the first Parsa. A Parsa is 4 mil. A mil, we know, is the distance that a person can travel, we assume in 18 minutes. Some argue it's more, 22 and a half minutes. Well, let's assume for argument's sake now, it's 18 minutes. So the distance you can travel in 18 minutes times 4. That's the distance you can travel in 72 minutes, that's a parsa. So Rashi says, until the first parsa, you can say Tefillas HaDerech. After that, you've lost your opportunity, you can no longer say it. That's what the second statement of Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Chizda is coming to modify. Yes, you can say it on the Derech, but only at parsa. The Loch is Gedolos Mefarish, though. No, that it's not coming to modify how long you have on your path that you can say Tefillas HaDerech. It's coming to tell you how long of a Derech is considered a derech to say Tefillas HaDerech. Amar Rabbi Yaakov Amar Chisda said, first you say Tefillas HaDerech, Mishosh Mahalach Baderech. Yeah, but what's a derech? Ad Parsa. Until a Parsa is not a derech, more than a Parsa is a derech. Ubalachas Gedolos Mefarash, Kama Yavakish Lelech, Shi Yetzerech Lispalel. How far do you have to travel in order to be obligated in reciting Tefillas HaDerech? Ad Parsa, Efshar Ein Lo Lelech Ela Ad Parsa. Avaderech Pochos Mi Parsa, Ein Tzerech Lispalel Tefillazu. If it's less than a parsa, so you do not have to recite Tefillas HaDerech. So the Baal Halachas Gedolos, first of all, disagrees, or is just making two points. The first is, he certainly would seem to disagree with Rashi, that you can say Tefillah Sederach the entire time you're on the journey, even past the first, distance you could travel in 72 minutes. And he seems to be telling us an additional chiddush, is that how long is a minimum trip that you have to be taking in order to be obligated to Tefillah Sederach is more than a parsa, more than the distance that a person could travel in 72 minutes. Rabbeinu Yoina has a third explanation of this Gemara, which kind of is a slight variation on the Baal Halachas Gedolos, but fundamentally agrees with the Baal Halachas Gedolos. He says over here, or his Gimel Venira, he quotes Rashi, you can only say it until a parsa, after that you've lost your opportunity. Venira Lemayri Harav Neru, that's his Rebbe, Devade HaPereshanoch and Kein Huda, Ad Kama Rotzaloyma, Ad Kama Havi Achizes Aderech. How long is considered a trip, a significant trip, you'd be obligated to feel Sederech? About Eino Kamoy Sha'oimim Shalom Yispal Besok Parsa Lo Yispal Achaka. Not like Rashi, who said if you don't say it in the first parsa, you can't say it later. Shizeh Lo Yitachin, that's not possible. You're still traveling. Well, if you're still traveling, why shouldn't you be obligated in Tefillah Sederach? We'll get back to this point in a minute. Rather, what is Amar Abchizda Amar Abiyachav coming to teach us? He's coming to teach. You should say it when you first leave the city. Like Rashi, say it right away. You can say it later. Not like Rashi, you said you lost the opportunity, you can't say it later, but l'chadchila, why not say it in the first parsa? Kozman sherav mimenu haderech ad sheyizkarev l'makom shaharlech. However, he says, what did Rabbi Yaakov Amar Rav Chisda come to teach us? Not only does the minimum path have to be a parsa in order to be obligated to feel sederech, you can't be within a parsa of your destination. Once you're within a parsa of your destination, that's like as if you don't have a parsa left to travel. That's like a person who's embarking on a trip that's less than a parsa. So even the Baal Halachas Gedolos, who holds you can say Tefillas HaDerech the duration of the trip, once you're within a parsa of the destination, that's like now you can only say it because you still have a trip ahead of you. There's more to travel. However, if you're within a parsa of the destination, now you want to say it, so you can't say it because you have less than a parsa to travel. And the minimum distance that a person is traveling that can evoke, that can trigger the obligation of Tefillas HaDerech is a parsa. So if you're within a parsa of the destination, you will not recite Tefillas HaDerech. So in the Shulchan Aruch, we pass like the Baal Halachas Gedolos and this Rabbeinu Yoina. L'chadchila, you should say, that a person could say Tefillas HaDerech the entire trip, not just in the first parsa. You could say it the entire trip, because at any point in time, it's like you're embarking on a trip. However, if you're within a parsa of your destination, you can no longer say Tefillas HaDerech. And again, a parsa is the distance that it takes to travel in 72 minutes. The Ramah adds, though, that L'chadchila, one should do like Rashi, and say Tefillas HaDerech in the first parsa, within the first distance that a person can travel in 72 minutes. Why are you not obligated to say, we should do like Rashi. Why is a person not obligated to say it if he's traveling less than a parsa? So again, two halachas emerge. Number one, you have to be traveling a parsa. Number two, l'chadchila, we do like Rashi, say it in the first parsa. If you didn't say it within the first parsa, you could say it subsequently, as long as you're not within a parsa of your destination. Why does the trip have to be a minimum of a parsa? So the assumption was, because less than a parsa is not a dangerous trip. You're going around the block, and you say, it feels a derech. It's a little excessive. And even if you're leaving the city, but you're right outside in the outskirts of the city, also seems that wasn't too dangerous. However, the Mishnah Berurah though adds, let's say a person knows that it is dangerous. Shapokas mikarsu akarav v'ir eino makom sakana min astam. Generally, we would assume it's not a dangerous trip. If you know that it is dangerous, then even if you're going around the block, even if it's close to the city, say Tefillas HaDerech. The assumption was less than a parsa, it wasn't dangerous. But if you know that it is dangerous, you would recite Tefillas HaDerech. Okay, but you have to be traveling a minimum of a parsa. That's when the assumption is that it's dangerous. Less than that, you're not going to get attacked by, Chayos Rose in the middle of Manhattan. Once in a while, one of these animals breaks free from the Bronx Zoo, but generally speaking, that doesn't, not something that generally occurs. So you wouldn't be obligated to say Tefillas HaDerech. So you have to be traveling a parsa, and we said you should lechatchila. The Ramah says lechatchila, say within the first parsa. If you didn't, you can continue to say it throughout the duration of the trip, unless you're within a parsa of your destination. But how do we measure a parsa? So we said it's 72, the distance a person can travel within 72 minutes. That's how the Mishnah Berurah defines it. Therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says, what if you're traveling on a train or in a car? How quickly does a parsa pass? So if you're walking on foot, it's 72 minutes. What if you're traveling in a car? So the Mishnah Berurah says it's a distance measurement. Not a time measurement, a distance measurement. The distance that you travel in 72 minutes. So if you're traveling in a car, it's going to go by very quickly. You're traveling in a train, probably even quicker. So you have to, if we're lechatchila, we hold you could say it the rest of the trip until you're within a parsa of your destination, because then there's no more danger. But if, lechatchila, you should say it within the first parsa. So this becomes tricky. You have to say it, you know, pretty clear. There's a small window in which you could say Tfilas HaDerech. There were others who disagreed. There's a tshuva, Zichron Yehuda. Zichron Yehuda was Rabbi Yehuda Greenwald, was the Rav in Satmar, nothing to do with Satmar Chassidim. Probably a little bit before Satmar Chassidim became a bigger movement. He was the Rav in Satmar, Hungary, and he published tshuvas. So he says it depends on the time. It's a good argument. It depends on the time measurement of 72 minutes. It's not a distance. It's a distance. When Chazal said parsa, they meant 72 minutes. They didn't mean a distance you can walk in 72 minutes. They meant the first 72 minutes of the journey. And if you're traveling less than 72 minutes, you wouldn't be obligated in Tfilas HaDerech. More than 72 minutes, you would be obligated in Tfilas HaDerech. So according to the Zichron Yehuda, and that's where Rabbi Avadya Paskins Yabi Omer, if number one, a nafkamina will be if you're traveling less than 72 minutes, you're never obligated in Tfilas HaDerech. Number two, you'd have a longer window in which to say Tfilas HaDerech if you're traveling on a train or in a car. However, most Paiskim don't hold like that. Most Paiskim hold it depends on the distance. Yeah, what do you want to say?
If you hold like that, it doesn't sound like the issue is Sakana. Because
why?
Because you could walk 20 feet in 72 minutes. You can walk, time's independent of the Sakana reason. Yeah, you could...
Not really, because there's a radius around the city where most, meaning if it's easy to get to, most people, it's habited. You know, I think there's validity to that. If you are traveling, most people, they travel an hour, they don't really think about it. You travel an hour and a half, whoa, that's a big trip. New Yorkers, you travel over the GWB already, it's a big trip. But, you know, most people, if you have to travel, you know, 10 minutes out of the city is not a big trip. I don't know if it depends on distance in our times. It probably depends on time getting there in a car. I think it's fair. It's a fair argument. I don't know why it wasn't accepted. Most Paiskim don't accept it. Most Paiskim are a little bit more traditional, and they assume that it's a distance that a person can travel in 72 minutes, and meaning by walking. But according to this, therefore, there's a lot more scenarios where you'd be obligated to recite Tfilas HaDerech, because it's anybody who's traveling the distance that you could walk in 72 minutes. That's a lot more scenarios. And more than that, the window in which you can say Tfilas HaDerech just became very short if you're traveling in more contemporary forms of transportation. So cars and trains, you should try and say Tfilas HaDerech, pretty quickly once you leave the city, because according to most places, given the Mishnah Berurah, you have, it's a distance that a person travels within 72 minutes. What about an airplane, though? So you have to recite Tfilas HaDerech on an airplane in the first place. So it has nothing to do with the discussion about whether you say Birchas HaGoyimel on an airplane. One has nothing to do with the other. But there is also some controversy about saying Tfilas HaDerech on an airplane, because the Gemara says in Masechta Schulin with regards to Shiluach HaKan, first the pasuk says by Shiluach HaKan, Ki Yikre Kan Tzipo Lefanecha Baderech, if a bird will encounter you along the way. So the Gemara says, what's called a way? What's called a derech? What if I find a bird on the sea? I assume there are some birds that make their nests in the ocean. So what? Okay, I guess, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but let's say you find a bird in the sea. So the Gemara says, yes, the sea is also called the derech, because the pasuk says, "Hanoisim b'yam derech v'mayim azim nesiva." It's also called the derech. What if you find a bird in the sky? I don't know how that could arise, but the Gemara says, is that called ki yikra lefanecha kantzipo b'derech? So the Gemara says, no, the Shamaim is not called a derech. Avir, air, is not called a derech. So based on this, Rabbi Zevin, of course, the author of L'Tor V'Lo Ma'adim, L'Or HaLocha, many other Svarim as well, he was the first editor of the Encyclopedia Talmudist, the inaugural editor. In fact, when he passed away, they said they didn't know how they continued the project without him, because his great gadlus, he was the father of much of this in the movement of this the kind of genre of svarim now that we just take for granted that exists, like these, like. Anyway, he was really a tremendous, unappreciated, tremendous goyim in Talmud Chacham. Anyway, Rabbi Zevin, and so he has a book called Ishim, he was very unusual, has a book called Ishim Veshitos, which was biographies of different tzaddikim and gedolim. So in his biography, his brief biography, he also published book reviews called Sofrim Vesvarim, which is like, you know, a book review of Reb Chaim's Chidushim and the Rambam, unusual, very unusual. But he has fantastic observations. So anyway, in this book, Ishim Veshitos, which is a biographies and sketches, and his biography of the Ragachover, he says that the Ragachover Gaon, who was, of course, the other Rav in Dvinsk at the same time as the Meshech Chachma, so he says that the Ragachover suggested you don't recite Tfilas HaDerech on an airplane, because it's not called a derech. The Gemara says, by ki yikra kantzipo fanecha, but derech, it's not considered a derech, Shulach HaKan, it's not a derech for Tfilas HaDerech either. Most Paiskim don't accept that. We assume that you do. It's an interesting idea, but most assume that Kiyikra Kansipo Vanecha B'Derech has nothing to do with Tfilas HaDerech. And Derech don't necessarily mean the same thing in every place. And you would recite Tfilas HaDerech if you're traveling on an airplane. But the problem arises, where do you say, when do you say Tfilas HaDerech? You have to say within the first parsa. What's, you know, the first parsa is going to pass very quickly in an airplane. So Rabbi Yaakov recommended to say it as you're taxiing on the ground, not in the, you know, waiting online. When the plane begins to speed up in order to take off, already you're considered as on the derech, and you can begin to say Tfilas HaDerech, and hopefully you'll conclude, you know, within the first parsa. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman held that the derech doesn't begin until you're in the air. As long as you're taxiing on the ground, you're not called on the derech. You're only in the derech when you're on the, in the air. That's dangerous. There's no danger in taxiing on the ground. So that's why many, I recommend you say, start saying Tfilas HaDerech while you're taxiing. Most of the times, if you're saying it with any, you know, any measure of kavana, it will take you until the plane takes off and be efshe l'kayim shneim. But that's a, but it's a, you have to get that window, at least the chathilo. You didn't say it then, you could say it later until you're landing, but yeah.
Some people say that you're supposed to say it in the car on the way to the airport.
You could say it in the car on the way to the airport, unless you're traveling from LaGuardia or JFK, which we'll get to in a second. If you're, it depends on the airport. But the question is, according to Rashi, why is it that you only have the first parsa? Why can't you say it after the first parsa, as Rabbeinu Yonah argued? You're still on the derech. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah said. You can say it to the last parsa, because in the last parsa, within the parsa of the destination, there's no derech in front of you anymore. But the Rashi also asks Sam Rashi. He says, "Venira, I look over here. I say the last line. Venira, perish halachas gedolos ikar im yesh ladan lelechas harbe lama lo yivar." You still have the whole rest of the trip in front of you. Why shouldn't you say tefilas haderech? Why does Rashi hold you only have the first parsa, which we're machmir for that chachila, not for the yevet? But why? So I believe that it's because, and this is the way the Meiri explains Rashi, as well as many other Achreinim afterwards, that it's because of the way the Gemara introduced Tfilas HaDerech. Look back, Ois Beis. The Gemara quoted the name of the Gemara quoted Amalei Eliyahu, the Rabbi Yehuda Achad, Rabbi Salah Chasida. Eliyahu appeared to Rabbi Yehuda, the brother of Rabbi Salah Chasida, and he told him, "Kishata Yaitz LeDerech Hamlech B'Kainecha V'Tzei, consult with the Ribbono Shel Olam." Look how Rashi though explains that Hamlech B'Kainecha. Rashi says, Tal Rishus, ask for permission. And most people outside of Yeshiva University, when they ask for permission, they do so before, you know, at the beginning of something, not after it's done already. After it's done already, that's called asking forgiveness. Always ask, easier to ask forgiveness and permission. But permission is supposed to be asked at the beginning. Therefore, says the Meiri, that's why Rashi held, you have to say Tfilas HaDerech on the first parsa. Because since traveling is a dangerous undertaking, you want to ask Rishus from the Ribbono Shel Olam to go, you have to do that at the beginning of the journey. So Rashi understood that Tfilas HaDerech is a Netilas Rishus, is asking permission to go. That's why it has to be in the first parsa. Perhaps the Baal Halachas Gedolos disagrees, because the Gemara then recapped and said, "Ayaita l'derech, tzarech is pal tfilas haderech." This is not netilas rishus. This is a tefila, like any other tefila of a person who's in a dangerous situation. He's be'ez tzara or sakana, that he offers a tefila to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, the Rambam's opinion is davening every day is deiraisa. The Ramban disagrees. Davening every day is only midrabanan. What does the pasuk then mean? Ula avda b'chol levavchem, ezu avada shebelev zu tefila. Says the Ramban, that's a tefila be'ez tzara. a tefillah in Eitz Tzara, everyone agrees is a mitzvah midairaisa. Either Salvechik even suggested that Rambam, who holds a mitzvah to daven every day, is only because every day there's a mini crisis. It's not a big crisis, but a mini crisis. And that's also a crisis where you have to offer a tefillah midairaisa. The Ramban disagreed it's bigger crises than the crises that a person has to offer a tefillah to the Ribbono Shel. But a tefillah be'eis tzara is everyone agrees a mitzvah midaraisa. So too over here, this is like a tefillah be'eis tzara. You're now embarking upon a journey which is dangerous. You're nervous, whatever. It's an eis tzara. Therefore, you offer a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because it's a tefillah be'eis tzara. That's what tefillah sederach is. And therefore, the Taz says, as long as there's still danger in front of you, if you're within a parse of your destination, you know, it's not dangerous anymore. But if the danger is still in front of you, you still have a long way to go. So therefore, the Bahag felt he continued to say tefillah sederach the rest of the trip. So machleik in Rashi and the Bahag might revolve around what is tefillah sederach? Is it netilas rishus to go, or is it which case you should say it at the beginning, or is it the tefillah based sederach because of the danger of the trip that lies ahead of you? In which case, it doesn't matter when you say it as long as you're not within the last parsa where it's not dangerous anymore. A big difference will be, what about saying tefillah sederach before you even leave? The Gemara said you should say mishosh mahalech baderach, you're on the way. What about saying it before you're on the way? So look over here, Arizvav, the Taz writes, Yachal loymar asaf filu bi'ir kaidim shiyotze. Of course, you can say it even before you leave. Gavaldik. Masha kazev shiyachzik baderech. That which the Gemara says, that you're already established on the path. Perish yeh musu bevadei shalele. It means that you've already established that you're going, not that you've already left. If you're not sure if you're going, don't say tefillah sederach. That's tefillah shav. You might not go. But if you know that you're going, you can say tefillah sederach even before you leave. And the Magen Avraham disagrees. He says, how can you say tefillah sederach before you left? Nearly, not only can you not say while you're still before you left, you can't even say within the outskirts of the city. You have to wait till you pass 70 amos in order to say tefillah sederach. So you have to wait till you're in an area that's uncivilized, that's unsettled, outside of the outskirts of the city, and then you can say tefillah sederach. While you're in the city, you can't say tefillah sederach. Why does the Taz? I think it might depend on two girsos, because look at the girsos of the Taz said. The Taz says, Umasha kosov sheyachzik baderech. There's another girsos in our Gemara. Our Gemara had, look back on his base, Mishosh mahalech baderech, which sounds like you're already traveling on the path. That sounds like the Magen Avraham. But if you look in the Rosh has the gear so over here, Ois Hey, Mishosh yoichaz baderech. Like you've grabbed on to the path. You've established that you're on the path. So that doesn't mean necessarily that you've left. It means that you've grabbed a hold of it. You've booked travel insurance. You're already sure that you're going. So then you could already say tefillah sederach. That maybe implies like the Taz. Why should you be able to say tefillah sederach or say in the city? Because if tefillah sederach is asking permission, what's even better than asking permission in the first parsa? Asking permission before you leave. Oh, gavaldik. Even better. Noch besser. So therefore the Taz says, not only did Rashi say you could ask within the first parsa, of course you could even ask before you left, because the Taz understood tefillah sederach is in netilas rishus. The Magen Avraham is going with the Baal Lachas Gedolis, the more traditional approach. Tefillah sederach is not asking permission to leave. Tefillah sederach is a tefillah be'eis tzara in the sakana of you're on the trip, you're danger in a dangerous situation, you offer a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu of a person who's be'eis tzara. Therefore it has to be that you've already left. It can't be that you're still within the outskirts of the city. At that point, it's too early to say tefillah sederach. You have to wait till you be'eis tzara, when there's danger, when you've encountered the danger, not beforehand. So we mow the Mishnah Berurah sides with the Magen Avraham. You can't say tefillah, which is not surprising. It fits with the Bahag. We seem to assume tefillah sederach is a tefillah be'eis tzara. B'di'evet, we can say it after the first parsha of the Chachil, or Machmer V'Rashi, B'di'evet, we say it the whole time. Therefore, the Mishnah Berurah sides with the Magen Avraham is a tefillah be'eis tzara. You have to wait till you're on the trip, and that's what most places can hold. We do not say tefillah sederach while you're still in the city. Even though the Taz held you could do that, and you want to, the Mishnah Berurah, those sides with the Magen Avraham. I think that this issue is related to another large dispute within the Rishonim with regards to tefillah sederach. And that is whether or not it's a tefillah or a bracha. We call it tefillah sederach, but many Rishonim seem to have understood that it's a bracha. Tosis writes over here, Oisches, commenting on the Gemara Masechtas Pesachim, which tells us, Kol ha-brachos peseach bebarach v'chaisim bebarach. Any bracha that's more than one line begins with baruch and concludes with baruch. If it's a one-line bracha, then they, this rule doesn't apply. But any bracha that has some length to it begins with baruch, and then at the end has a baruch at the end. So Taisus asks, though, from Elokai Neshama, Taisus asks, which is long, but it doesn't begin with baruch, it concludes with baruch. And then Taisus asks, from Tfilas HaDerech, what Tfilas HaDerech begins Yehi Ratzon and concludes Baruch Atah Hashem Shemei HaTfilah. So there's a baruch at the end, but there's no baruch at the beginning. Taisus says, why is there no baruch at the beginning? Mechen Kashem Tfilas HaDerech Shechayisim Veinu Paserech B'baruch. It concludes with a baruch, but not at the beginning. Yesh Loimar, Vafishan Einan Brachis, El Hashemach V'Tfilah Be'alma. The answer is, it's not a bracha. This is a tfilah. To HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a tfilah based Sarah. Like we've been saying. And that's the opinion of the tour, that's why Tfilas HaDerech doesn't begin with a bracha, because it's tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umash ain't Pesachas, but Baruch, Perish Reel, if he's ain't the El Tfilah, but Almash and Mispal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not like a Birchas Hanenin, it doesn't conform with the general rules and regulations of Baruchas. However, then the tour quotes from the Marami Rutenberg. Marami Rutenberg, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim. So Marami Rutenberg says, Kishahaya Yoitzel Derech, Babaiker Haya Oimra Achar. Kidei Lasmicha with Yibesh, Lasmicha Labirchas Goimo Chasadim. He used to say it after Birchas HaShachar. After Goimo Chasadim, Toivim Liyamo Yisrael. Viti Abrachas Mucha Lechavarta. So that it's Baruch that's part of a series of Baruchas. Because even though we have a rule that every Baruch has to begin with Baruch, there is an exception to that rule, like in Shemona Esrei. Hashiveinu, Baruch Aleinu, Rifa'enu, none of these all conclude with Baruch, but they don't begin with Baruch. Why not? It's 18 Baruchas, 19 Baruchas, Shemona Esrei, whatever it is. Why doesn't it begin with Baruch? The answer is it's a part of a series, or Sheva Baruchas. Sameach Tesamach, also doesn't begin with Baruch, or... So whenever you have a series of Baruchas, they don't have to begin with Baruch, because each one is connected to the previous one. So too, the Marami Rutenberg felt, the reason why Tfilas HaDerech does not begin with Baruch is because it was really part of a series of Baruchas. Which Baruchas? Birchas HaShachar. Supposed to be said after Agoyim HaSadim Toivim Le'amo Yisrael. That was the opinion of Rami Rumberg, that it's really a bracha hasmucha lechavrta.
That only works if you travel in the morning, though.
So the Taz says, when was he saying Tfilas HaDerech? Must be he was saying it before he left. Oh, that's why he was saying it during Shachar. It says, the Taz, arrive from here, you can say Tfilas HaDerech before you leave. And the Magen Avraham says, no, he was already on the path. Maybe, first of all, he left before Alois HaShachar. In which case, if you leave before Alois HaShachar, you're going to have to daven on the way. So then, in my Rami Rutenberg, was Tzaymech HaTagayim HaChasadim Tovim Liyamo Yisrael. Or, the problem is you're not supposed to leave before Tefillah, you're supposed to daven first, okay. Or, it could be the Marami Rutenberg was traveling for an extended period of time. It says in Shulchan Aruch, if you're traveling, see, we don't have this nowadays. Most of you could begin a trip in the morning and arrive at the other end of the world by the night. Their trips took a few days. So the Shulchan Aruch says, every day of your trip, you have to say Tfilas HaDerech anew. We rarely encounter this. But maybe if you're on a cruise, you can encounter this. But every day of the trip, you're supposed to say Tfilas HaDerech. Not in the middle of the trip. You don't say it more than once a day. But while you're traveling, you should say Tfilas HaDerech every time. Every day. So it could be, says the Magen Avraham, conceivably, that the Maharam Rumberg was traveling for more than one day. That's why he said Tfilas HaDerech Birchas HaShachar in the morning. Either way, the Shulchan Aruch recommends to do like the Marami Rutenberg, to be soimichet to another bracha. The Mishnah Berurah says, if you couldn't, you didn't, we're meiko, like the tour, like the Taisvis, the reason why Tfilas HaDerech doesn't begin with the bracha is because it's a tefillah, doesn't have to be said next to another bracha, but the Mishnah Berurah recommends, Shulchan Aruch quotes the Marami Rutenberg's practice, and the Mishnah Berurah recommends to say Tfilas HaDerech, samuch to another bracha. You should say it the next to Asher Yatzar, he says, or bracha achreina, on drinking something. You should try and be soimechet to another bracha to make it part of a series of brachas. You could argue once it's part of a series of brachas, even if it finds itself outside of the series, it still shouldn't begin with baruch, but the Mishnah Berurah recommends to try and put it next to another bracha, if possible. Bracha Rishayna isn't ideal because you're going to make a baruch shahakol niyabedvaray, drink, then say Tfilas HaDerech. So the drinking is in between, separates the hefsik between the bracha and Tfilas HaDerech, so bracha Rishayna not the best. bracha achrayna or hasha yatzar is a good thing. So you go to the, you know, person goes to the restroom before they gets on the plane. When he gets on the plane and he's about to taxi, he could say hasha yatzar then, and then he could say tefilas haderech. This machlekes harishonim, whether or not tefilas haderech is a tefila or a bracha, also seems to be a machlekes harishonim in the Avudraham with regards to why is it that tefilas haderech doesn't have shem umalchus. The Gemara says in brachas daf yud beis, every bracha has to say, have shem umalchus. As a bracha to Hashem aleikenu melech ha'olam. Why over here is there no shem umalchus? So the Ravid suggests because any bracha that you're not obligated to say on a regular basis doesn't have to conform to that rule. Kevin shein bracha she'ein lam keva maklinon bohem. However, the Avudraham himself disagrees with the Ravin. He says, no, you know why it feels that Derech doesn't begin with a, it doesn't have shein umalchus, not only does it not begin with a baruch, it doesn't have shein umalchus, is because it's not a bracha at all. It's a tefillah. Therefore, it doesn't have to conform to the regular rules. Brachis doesn't have to have shame in malchus. Another big difference is this machlekes. Again, we're lechachila. We try and do like the Maram. I've traveled a few times. You know, gotten on a plane. You had to travel before Alois Hashachar. You couldn't daven, so you have to daven in the airport. So, or on the plane, or whatever. You know, as you're already you daven on the plane or on the way. So those few times that I've been traveling on the way, so you know, I did like the Maram. You know, I said tefilas haderech after I go to chasod and toivim l'am Yisrael. You could say it in shachar. You said shemei tefila. You could say it. I always felt very good about myself. You know, I did like the maram because you can't say whatever. You can't say within the city, so you can't say before you leave. We're machmir for the Magen Avraham, so you have to be already on the way and davening shachar on the way. But if you're davening shachar on the way, it's gishmak to do like the maram, and it has to be within the first parasha. So it's a tricky business. But anyway. Another nafkamina as to whether or not this is a tefillah or a bracha, with regards to a very common issue which arises, is can one say tefillas haderech for others? So we know you can make a bracha for others. I can make make brachas for others. Discuss being mostly others in benching. Or alamithi, you can make brachas for other people. Can you daven for others? Can you be mostly someone else in davening? So the Ran quotes over here Maseches Rosh Hashanah from a well-known comment of the Talmud Yerushalmi, which is quoted by the Mishnah Berura, that even though we have a rule of Kol HaBrachas Kula and Afo Pisha Yotze Moitzi, even though by most brachas, even though I was already Yotze, I could be Moitzi others, there are a few exceptions to that rule. The first is benching. You can only recite benching on behalf of others if you're obligated in benching. If I didn't eat, I can't bench for you. But if I ate, I can bench for you. I can say Al Mechia for the whole Olam. But if you're not obligated in benching, even though we generally have a rule, Afa Pisha Yotza Moitzi, I already was Yotze Kiddush, I can make Kiddush for you, I can't bench for you. Because the Pasuk says, V'chalta V'savata V'erachta, you ate and then you benched. You have to have eaten. Then the Talmud Yerushalmi says, I also can't say Kriyashma for you. Because Kriyashma is learning. Every person has to learn on their own. Then the Gemara says, Yerushalmi says, by Tefillah too, I cannot daven to you because kol echad mevakish rachmim al atzmai. Every person has to ask for mercy for themselves. B'di'evet, if you don't know how to daven, they instituted chazaras hashatz for those who don't know how to daven. They should be yotzi with the shliach tzibur. But l'chachila, that's like all of us who know how to daven, we should daven on our own. We shouldn't be yotzi with chazaras hashatz. So what about tefilas haderech? So in the tshuva's Kinyan Torah, it's a well-known tshuva from the Kinyan Torah, says that it depends on this issue. If tefilas haderech is a bracha, I could say tefilas haderech for the entire group if I'm a youth leader or something. Say tefilas haderech for everybody. If I on the microphone or whatever on the bus. If though tefilas haderech is a tefila, and that seems to be the way we assume, we say it the entire trip. Doesn't have to be next to another bracha. It doesn't have to be a bracha smucha l'chaverta. The reason why is because we seem to assume that it's a tefillah. In which case, the Kinyan Torah recommends l'chadchila, really, you should not say tefillah sederach for the entire group if they know how to say it on their own. Maybe many groups don't know how to say it on their own. But if they know how to say it on their own, you should say, repeat after me, and everybody should repeat the tefillah sederach after you to say it on their own. Because if it's a tefillah, every person should ideally say it on their own. It shouldn't be yotzei with somebody else. And that's our practice. That's what the chachil we should do. Another issue that's related, whether tefillah sederach is a bracha or a tefillah, is how you have to say it. Look over here in the Gemara Brachas. Look back. On his base. The third line. In the middle of the line. V'heichi matzila. How do you say tefillah sederach? Rav Chisda Amar mu'umad. Standing. Rav Sheshes Amar afilu mahalich. Even sitting. Rav Chisda Rav Sheshes havika azli b'orcha. They were going along on the way together. Come Rav Chisda v'kamatli. Rav Chisda got up to say tefillah sederach standing, like his shita. Amalei Rav Sheshes l'shmaya, Rav Sheshes, who was blind, said to his attendant, Maika avid Rav Chisda, what is Rav Chisda doing? Amalei kamatli, kai umatli, he's standing to say tefillah sederach. Amalei ukma nami lididiva asli, stand me up too. Why not? Why? Miyoyz toiv al tikri ra. Why not? He said, you don't lose. He didn't change his position, but he held you don't lose. Why not? How do we really paskin though? Do you have to stand when you say tefillah sederach or not? Tosfos says, Kaimelon, over here, the last line of his base, Kaimelon k'Rav Sheshes, we paskin k'Rav Sheshes, you don't have to stand for tefillah sederach. However, Miu b'Tosfos pasuk, Rabbi Yosef, and the Rif, the Rav Chisda adifa leitfei, we should really paskin l'chadchila like Rav Chisda to say tefillah sederach while you are standing. So that's the way he recommends to do in Shulchan Aruch, is that a person should l'chadchila say tefillah sederach while he's standing.
It's standing still.
Yeah, so it says in the Shulchan Aruch, if you're traveling on an animal, you should make sure that the animal stops, but you don't have to get down from the animal. But that's because it was a big tircha to get down from the animal. If you've ever been traveling on a camel or a horse, it's a big deal to get off the animal and get back on the animal. But let's say you're in a car, so the Paiskim number one recommend you should try and stop the car, and it's best, if you can, to get out. But some compare it to getting off the animal. You don't have to get off the animal, but you shouldn't be driving while you're saying tefillah sederach. It should be, it should be that you should at least, you should try and stop the car. If you're on a bus, or you're on a train where it's easy to stand up, you should try and stand up. And the fact that the train is moving doesn't interfere with me. I'm just sitting on the train. I'm not driving. So then there's no, like, I'm not involved in the traveling of the vehicle, so then it would be enough just to stand. Well, obviously the train's not going to stop for you either. So the Chachila, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you should try and stand. Mishnah Berurah adds B'diyevet, if you can't, we pass in B'diyevet like Tosfos, that it's okay, you could say it while you're seated, or while you're traveling, but best that a person should try and stand the Chachila. I wouldn't recommend to do this on a plane, because we said the best time to say tefillah sederach is while the plane is taxiing to take off, and when it first rises into the air. Nowadays you do that, you'll end up on YouTube, you try and stand up in the plane to say tefillah sederach, and not create a Kiddush Hashem, probably just the opposite. So therefore, I wouldn't recommend to do it on a plane, but if you're in the middle of the trip, and you remember you didn't say tefillah sederach, then a valid person should try and stand. Best to stand for tefillah sederach. Why, though? Why should a person try and stand for tefillah sederach? So this issue, again, many suggest, seems to be related to the issue of what is tefillah sederach. If it's a bracha, so then brachas could be said sitting, seated. If it's a, you're supposed to have kavana, of course, but you could say while you're seated, while you're traveling, we don't have that kind of rule by brachas. If it's tefillah, a person standing before the Ribbono Shel Olam in tefillah, then it's proper to stand. It's proper to stop traveling. Because otherwise it's insulting to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We have such a concept by tefillah. So that's perhaps why one should stand, is based on the understanding that tefillah sederach is a tefillah be'eis tzar, when a person is in a time of need, a time of danger. If it's a bracha, it doesn't make sense really that you should try and stand up. So again, the chachila, we do try and stand. Again, because it seems to be that we assume tefillah sederach, even though we have different indications, seems to be that we assume tefillah sederach is a tefillah, be'eis tzar, not a bracha, but the evidence we say it even without being soymech lechaverta. So we assume it is a tefillah. A person shouldn't be, every person should say it on their own, and also a person lechachila should try and stand. But it seems to me that this issue about whether tefillah sederach is a bracha or a tefillah is related to the first issue that we raised. Because if tefillah is a tefillah, we understand, it's a tefillah be'eis tzara, like the Bahag told us, you could say it throughout the duration of the trip past the first parsa. But if tefillah sederach is a bracha, so I think, why would it be a bracha on traveling? It's a very unusual concept, a bracha on traveling, like a bracha on lightning, or a bracha, it's very unusual, a bracha on a mitzvah, a bracha on an apple, have a bracha on traveling. So I believe what the Marami Rutenberg and that line of thinking within the Rishonim, that Tefillah Sederach is a bracha, based on the perspective of Rashi, that Tfilas HaDerech is asking permission to leave, to go on and undertake a dangerous journey. And a bracha is usually in order to ask permission from the Ribbono Shel Olam to do something. That's why we make a bracha, Birch Sanenen, in order to ask permission from the Ribbono Shel Olam to benefit from this world. If you don't, the Gemara says it's ki humal. You took something from the world without asking permission first. And the Rambam writes, a well-known comment at the beginning of Hilchos Brachos, Kishem Shemavarchim Al Hana, just like we make a bracha on an apple, on benefiting from the world, we also make a bracha on a mitzvah. What does a bracha on a mitzvah have to do with a bracha on Hana? So Salvechik explained, that once explained in the name of Reb Chaim, that it's because a birch mitzvah is a matir to do a mitzvah. You can't just take lulav without first asking the Ribbono Shel Olam, can I do something for you? Can I take can I take lulav and fulfill your commands? You can't just walk into the chamber of the Ribbono Shel Olam. You have to ask permission first. And the way you ask permission is by saying a birchas hamitzvah. That's why the Rambam says, Kishem shmevarach malana, kach mevarach malam mitzvahs. So a bracha is always asking permission to do something. So I believe that if tefilas haderech is netilas rishus, then it makes a lot of sense to argue that the tefilas haderech should take the form of a bracha, as opposed to a tefillah. But we again seem to assume from the fact we say tefilas haderech throughout the duration of the trip and all the other ramifications we discussed, that tefilas haderech is a tefillah, not a bracha, it's not netilas rishus, but that perspective does come up numerous times throughout the halachos of tefillas haderech. But the most concerning thing is, in terms of contemporary reciting of tefillas haderech, is most people, a lot of people, commute to work, and they travel far distances. I don't know anybody, or most people don't. There might be some who do. We'll discuss in a second if that's correct. Say tefillas haderech every day. Most people don't do that. Why not? Maybe they should. Okay. Maybe they should. Or maybe it's because they never leave the outskirts of the city. Where does the city end? If you're traveling down the New Jersey Turnpike, it goes city, 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 until you get to Raritan Bridge, somewhere near, past Elizabeth. There's no breaks. It's a constant civilization. Or if you're traveling in Long Island, it's a city after city after city, Nassau, Suffolk, you go all the way out to Montauk without, So maybe that's being provincial. We live in the New York area, where that's the case. It's certainly not the case throughout the entire country. But at least where we live, that might justify why people don't say tefillas haderech, because they feel you never leave Ibur HaShalir. But the problem is, many people travel across the George Washington Bridge. You clearly left the outskirts of the city. Not everybody who travels over the George Washington Bridge says tefillas haderech every day. Maybe they should, but they don't. And by the same token, not everybody who travels over the Williamsburg Bridge or the Brooklyn Bridge is a way longer than 70 amos, certainly outside of the outskirts of the city, and nobody's reciting tefillas haderech for going through the Lincoln Tunnel or the Battery Tunnel. No one's saying tefillas haderech from Brooklyn to Manhattan every day, or from Manhattan to Brooklyn. So again, maybe they should. Maybe you could argue it's one big city. Maybe it's all one city, but you really are leaving. Well, no, the bridge is part of the city somehow. I know you could somehow fudge on that score. But the reason is, because what is the reason that Chazal instituted Tefillas HaDerech in the first place? Was because traveling was dangerous. What were they afraid of? What was the danger? Chayos Ros, wild animals. I don't really have that. Or Listin, be pirates. You could be attacked. So when I was growing up, there was a popular thing in the world of crime called carjacking. They would stop you at the red light and steal your radio and your car or whatever. Nowadays, it's not common because people lease cars and radios are not worth anything or whatever. No, thank God that's not in vogue anymore, this carjacking. So they really aren't pirates. You're not going to get stopped along the way. I guess you get mugged, but it's not, that's not why, not a common thing that occurs to people traveling in cars, or certainly in planes, or even on trains. They haven't heard train, pirates in a while. So, what are we saying tefillas haderech for in the first place? So maybe that's why no one says tefillas haderech when they're traveling. The reasons that Chazal instituted for tefillas haderech don't apply anymore. There's no danger. You say, no, there is a danger. What's the danger? What is everyone saying tefillas haderech for? Accidents. But that's not the reason why Chazal instituted tefillas haderech. So okay, so maybe that also. So the reasons have changed, but we it's still dangerous to travel. So you still say tefillah sederach because of the accidents. The problem is, if you're going to say make that argument, you should say tefillah sederach because of the accidents. The problem is that you should say it even in the city. AAA always puts out the statistics around this time of year. Most accidents occur within 5 miles of the home. So if that's the reason, you should feel sederach even in the city. No one's doing that. No one's doing that. So you'll say, what can we do? We can't be on the Chuvis van Hagas from Sternbach, he quotes from the Chazon Ish, that we now say it because of accidents. But we can't be machadish that people should say it every day when they leave the front door and get in the car and go to the grocery store. We did that. Can't do it. Shlomo Zalman says, no, it's for Chayos Ros and Listim, and therefore he says, it doesn't exist anymore. You shouldn't say it. He's just talking about traveling from Yerushalayim to Bnei Brak. There's no Tefillah Zaderach. There's no Chayos Ros. No Listim. However, I think we probably assume we do say it for accidents along the way. That's why you say it on an airplane. That's why you say it on a train. But there's a different reason. I believe this is the real reason why nobody says tefillah. There are some people who say tefillah sederach every day when they commute from Muncie or from Lakewood. I've been told that on the Lakewood buses they say tefillah sederach every day. If you're going to do that, I think their assumption is it's because of accidents. Then the only argument I would have is, well, then why don't you say it even in the city? So maybe they'll go with a kind of like a Sternbach argument, but it's just too extreme for us to be mechadish. Maybe. But I would suggest that, no, the real reason is that we don't say tefillah sederach, people commute, but when we travel on an airplane, we travel on a train, we travel on a long car ride, we do say tefillah sederach is because, even though we're saying tefillah sederach because of accidents, you only think about it on a long trip. No one's afraid when they go to the no one who's hopefully, you know, functioning is afraid when they go to the grocery store that they're going to get into an accident. Of course, you should always drive defensively and carefully, but it's not something that's really on our mind. When you take a trip in an airplane or in a long car ride, a train, you all of a sudden become nervous. Even though air travel is more safe than, I'm not advocating for anything, more safe than other forms of transportation, nobody thinks about it when they're traveling in a car. Everyone thinks about it when they're traveling on an airplane. So, and that matters. Why? For example, because the Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, tells us that we're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, and Shabbos, you're obligated even for a Suffolk Pikuach Nefesh. Pesach says, Mechai Behem, Lo Shiyamas Behem, not only if you're certainly in a life danger, you know, life endangering situation, even if it's Suffolk. But what's called a Suffolk? What's called a Suffolk Sakana? For Shabbos, you'd call an ambulance, so you call Hatzalah. So the Piskei Tshuva in Yerodea quotes him as some sefer. It has to be some probability. It can't be Echad Minei Elef. If it's 1 in 1,000, that's not called a Suffolk Sakana. Let's say a guy stubs his toe and he gets very nervous and he wants to call an ambulance because he once read in the National Enquirer, man stubs toe and dies. So he says, look, it's in the National Enquirer. I have to call Hatzalah. Hatzalah should not respond to such a call, even though they don't discriminate. You should not. That's not a Suffolk Sakana. Just because, even if it's true, just because someone once died because stubbing their toe, that's not a reason to call an ambulance. So Seifer is discussing, Seifer is one who says this, he's discussing the policy that they instituted in Europe in his time that was not to bury people until 3 days after they passed away. Because they were afraid, and this happens. People look like they died, they stop breathing, days later, they wake up. You Google it, it's not like some. It happens. It happens every few years is another case. There's one woman it happened to like 3 times, which obviously is very odd. But it happens. It's been documented. It happens. Throughout the world, I'd say once a decade. You can look it up. I once printed out all the cases where it happened. People wake up. The guy they're preparing him in the funeral home woke up at his own funeral knocking on the casket. I mean, it sounds like something's out of some sort of science fiction, but it happens. So they wanted to institute, you shouldn't bury anybody until 3 days after they passed away. So Sam Sofer says, that's ridiculous. Even though it might happen once in a while, you bury somebody when they're alive. In fact, it says in the Brisa Masechta the Smachos, they were once walking by, they used to bury them in slots in the ground, one on top of the other, in vaults in the ground, not in mausoleums above the ground, you're not allowed to do that, in vaults in the ground, they used to bury them. One time they were walking by and someone was screaming, let me out. It's a brisa, Masechta Smachos. So some say this happens, but it happens so rarely. Yeah, it's not called a Suffolk Sakana. Fine. But let's say something is the other extreme. It happens, it's 1 in 10 people die when they do this. So it says in the Magen Avraham, we can't let anybody do that. It's us to do it. And if a guy is in such a situation on Shabbos, even though he says, I don't want to be Mechal Shabbos, I have bitachon in the Ribbono Shel Olam that will save me, we don't listen to him, you have to be Mechal Shabbos. What about, though, if it's not 1 in 10 people die from doing this, but it's not 1 in 100,000 either, once in a decade, somewhere in between, which is most situations. So then, the Chafetz Chaim and the Chazon Ish both held that it depends on the person. If he's nervous, it's a suffix sakana. If you're not nervous, it's not a suffix sakana. The Chazon Ish was discussing what's happened in Europe, that the Chafetz Chaim was invited to a gathering of Rabbonim in Grodno. And they was, at that time, it was a factory that made the workers go to work in Lodz. You had to go to work on Shabbos. So people went to work on Shabbos. So they wanted the Chafetz Chaim to come out against it and say, anybody who goes to work on Shabbos, meaning Mechal Shabbos, they're doing the wrong thing. And the Chafetz Chaim said he wouldn't do it. Why? Because he said they're nervous for Pikuach Nefesh. They feel if they lose their parnasa, their livelihood, they won't be able to exist. So he said they're nervous. It's Pikuach Nefesh for them. So the Chazon Ish added at that time, don't think the Chafetz Chaim would have gone to work in the factory, but he said he would have had more bitachon, but he said they were nervous. If they're nervous, safek sakana. Or at the time of World War II, the Chazon Ish was dealing with a situation where they had the air raids. So when the air raid siren would go off, because the Germans were bombing, so you're supposed to turn off all your lights, because the Germans would see the lights, and have radar or anything, would see the lights, and they would drop bombs wherever they saw the lights. So everyone would turn off the lights. Well known in London, the air raid siren, everyone would turn off the lights. Can you do it on Shabbos? So Chazon Ish said, if you're nervous, you can turn off the lights. If you're not nervous, you can't turn off the lights. But really, if anybody's nervous in your building, you have to turn off the light. Or if anybody's nervous in your little, block, because the bomb could hit anywhere on the block, so then you have to turn off the lights. But why? It depends if you are nervous. So I think the same thing is true over here. When it comes to Tfilas HaDerech, it's not that it never happens. It happens with regularity, but it's not 1 in 100,000. But it's not, something we don't think of. But at the same time, it's not but it's not something we would ask our people from going in the car because it happens so regularly. So then it depends if you are nervous. So if you're nervous getting in the car, then you say Tfilas HaDerech. If you're not nervous, you don't say Tfilas HaDerech. So most of us only get nervous when you travel on a plane, you're traveling on a long car trip, cross country, or not when you're commuting to work. If a person who's nervous every day that he commutes to work, probably get a different job, find work closer to home. In fact, Rav Schechter quotes, I think that's why Rav Schechter quotes in Nefesh HaRa from Soloveitchik when he first took the job in yeshiva after his father passed away. So he was flying from Boston on Tuesday and go back on Thursday. Say shiur for 3 days and go back. And he would stay over here in the morgue, first floor. So initially, Rav Schechter said when he flew in from Boston, he would say Tfilas HaDerech. Years later, when he'd been doing this already for a long time, he stopped saying Tfilas HaDerech. So I think that the answer is, at the beginning, when you're doing something new, traveling on a plane every week, for anybody is something outside the box, outside the norm, not something we usually do, so you say Tfilas HaDerech, you get a little nervous. Once you're doing it every day, that's your commute. God flies every week, the red eye to California. At a certain point, you're just not going to think about it anymore, and then it becomes part of your routine. And people don't think about the things that are part of their routine, so then at that point, I don't think you should say Tfilas HaDerech. So I think that's why when people commute to work, you travel to Brooklyn, to Manhattan, and all these things, we don't say Tfilas HaDerech. You're traveling around the city, we don't say Tfilas HaDerech. Even though we say Tfilas HaDerech for accidents, and most accidents happen in the city, most people don't think about it. But when they're traveling outside the city, so then all of a sudden people begin to think about it, and then it's when you should say Tfilas HaDerech. Okay. No one should, Kadosh Baruch Hu should